What's up, everybody? It's LG Doucet here. Today is Wednesday, March 17th, 2021. I can't believe it's this far into the month. It's gone by so fast, which I never say in Top Shot time. This is The First Mint, a podcast where we talk about marketplace trends, big sales, and everything going on in NBA Top Shot. If you're new to Top Shot, welcome. Know that this is a place where we are going to give you tons of great information as well as discuss all the latest rumors and theories about what might be coming up in NBA Top Shot. Today, we have a very, very special episode. We have a basketball executive, Mr. Daryl Morey, the president of operations of the Philadelphia 76ers, a very well-known man in basketball circles. He's joining us on the show. We chatted, and you are going to hear that entire conversation coming up in the second half of the episode. Before that, we're going to talk about what's going on at the First Mint, as well as the newly revealed but long expected LeBron James Seeing Stars Challenge details finally revealed, as well as the rumors and theories of the new All-Star Game set that we saw being minted yesterday. We're also going to recap yesterday's stress test and talk about what to look for in the week ahead. I want to remind everybody here that none of the content on the show constitutes trading advice in any way, that this show is not affiliated with NBA Top Shot, the NBA, or Dapper Labs. I'm just a guy at his house who loves basketball and blockchain. This is The First Mint. So last night, if you're on the internet, if you follow The First Mint, you definitely caught a glimpse of The Plunge Father Show, The Deep Plunge. It's got a few different names, but the most important part is that it's all about The Plunge Father and his army of analytic gurus. Yesterday, he had our guy, Steve, on, who is the genius behind a lot of the charts that you've been seeing on our Twitter account, and they talked about flippers and how flippers are very important in the First Mint economy. They also talked about a big chart that was made by Greg Murray yesterday, recapping how many flippers there were last week between March 8th and 14th. Can you guess? Well, the number that there were 37,000 flips, 28,000 of them, so three quarters of them for profit, the average profit of a flip. And again, a flip is when you buy a moment and then you sell it like a day or two later. That's what a flip is, just so we're on the same page. It's not about dolphins. The average profit of these flips was $32, and the average loss for the losers of the flips was $33, so pretty well balanced. We got lots of that data here at the First Mint, so keep an eye out for it on our Twitter account and our other channels. Other stuff going on at the First Mint, we are on the third day of our Mint Madness Tournament, which is really a just giant bracket of Top Shot usernames. This is a fun tournament that we came up with as a way to kind of reflect the fun creativity of our community back onto you guys. We're treating it just like March Madness, just like the same kind of bracket, except it is full of people's Top Shot usernames. The top seeds were all chosen by our expert team of pundits, and the bottom half seeds were all randomly drawn from your submissions. Yesterday alone, in the round of 32, we had a lot of upsets. We had a 13 seed, Raptors Delight, move on. We had two 11 seeds, Ball and Blockchain and Mo Bamba, Mo Problems, also move on to the Sweet 16. And then we had a huge upset, a number one seed, Raindrop Drop Top, Michael Scott, was taken down by a number eight seed, Charizard Go Rar. If you look on Twitter today, we are off to the Sweet 16. We need your votes because the winner of this tournament will receive a Tyrese Haliburton triple badge rookie moment. It's very important. It's a lot of fun. We need your votes, so check it out on Twitter. On to news about Top Shot. Yesterday, during one of the stress tests, which we're going to talk about in a second, if you looked very closely during the second stress test waiting page, the LeBron James Seeing Stars Challenge moments were revealed. Well, not exactly revealed. There was just a clarification message that said that that challenge is going to start soon and that none of the Kevin Durant moments from his challenge, from his Seeing Stars challenge, was going on right now. It's still on for another like 10 days or whatever. None of those moments will be needed for the LeBron, nor will the Mike Conley challenge moment. There's been a lot of speculation in the last couple weeks as the information coming out of Top Shot has been a little bit ambiguous as to what would be needed for this LeBron James Seeing Stars challenge. Now we know that the only moments you're going to need to do the LeBron James challenge from Seeing Stars are all the other moments that came out in the Seeing Stars packs. I would assume that that includes Anthony Davis, who was in fact not on the LeBron James team. He was on the Kevin Durant team, but he was injured. He's not in the Kevin Durant challenge, but he will very likely be needed for that LeBron. We also saw yesterday, huge breaking news, also All-Star related, that a new All-Star set, a rare set, was minted on CryptoSlam. That's where you can see all that information. These will be moments from the actual All-Star game, where Seeing Stars was more of the announcement for the All-Star game. These are moments from the All-Star game. They include two challenge reward moments that weren't minted because they're going to be minted when they're rewarded. They are the Giannis three-pointer bank off the backboard, and of course, the Damian Lillard game winner of the All-Star game. Don't even know if there's ever been a game winner other than last year, which was a free throw by Anthony Davis. Game winner, Lillard three-pointer. That will be a challenge reward amongst that rare set of the All-Star game. That is going to be such a cool set. I know a lot of people are a little bit upset that maybe Top Shot is diluting the All-Star game market, but I don't think so. I don't think we can ever have too many moments of stars, especially that Damian Lillard one, as well as some other funny little things like LeBron and Steph Curry on the same team together forever in a Top Shot moment. Very excited. We have no details about when those are going to come out, what the price is going to be, how many are going to be in each pack. No details at all. Usually when things get minted, it's usually at least a couple weeks before they actually come out. So I wouldn't anticipate that anytime soon. However, I've been wrong in the past. Yesterday was a absolutely rammed day. So that All-Star game announcement or that those minting, that happened around like 1 o'clock Pacific. And then 2 or 3 hours later, we had back-to-back stress tests at 4 and 5 o'clock. If you don't know what these stress tests are or you're new to them, they are basically designed to test the Top Shot queue system in anticipation of a much larger drop. If you rewind 6 or 7 weeks ago, there were a lot of issues with the pack drops. The Top Shot site couldn't handle it, couldn't handle how many people were going to it. So a new system was put into place, as well as this test system. So these stress tests are not designed to give everybody a pack. They are designed to test the system. If you're one of the lucky people who managed to snag one of those 30,000 packs, is how many there were total. Lucky you, the moments that were in there were part of the original Series 2 base wave, which included some of those rookies like LaMelo and Wiseman, their triple badge moments, as well as some of the more well-known moments like the LeBron no-look three-pointer. After that drop, there must be very little of all that supply left. I'd say less than 10%, if not less than 5% of all those first wave moments. Other news around Top Shot, a new second all-time record was set yesterday for sale. A brand new buyer bought a LeBron from the top legendary Series 1 for $179,000 from the seller Buck Nasty. The current and the previous and still number one all-time sale was a LeBron Cosmic number 29 just a few weeks back for $208,000. But there is a new number two. Also, something that got washed away in the last couple days but came back and was very important, I think Monday night or Tuesday morning, was gifting. Gifting had been gone for 10 days or something like that. We didn't have it. Everybody was mad. I was mad. I wanted to give stuff. I wanted to give some of these prizes away that we've been doing. It finally came back. It was slowly rolled out, and now it is fully out there. But there are restrictions, as you probably know by now, including that if you have a new moment, you cannot gift it for at least 7 days. If you list or delist a moment, you cannot gift it for at least 7 days. You got to wait. A lot of that obviously designed to reduce a lot of the botting and mysterious activity that has gone on in the past on Top Shot. With all that being said, it does feel like things are starting to brew. Things are starting to pick up a little bit. A big sale like that second all-time one, that's never a bad sign. That's usually a healthy sign that things might be about to pick up. We're starting to get some new supply. Signups are slowly being rolled out, although they're limited to how many can go per week. They are being rolled back out. And we're seeing some activity of some new packs and sets. So these are all good things. What to look out for in the short term? Well, we know, and I feel like I've said this for 5 podcasts in a row now, Cool Cats 3 is imminent. It should be coming out soon. We've caught a glimpse, a leak of the pack page and what might be inside. Phil D has speculated about what common moments are going to be needed for the challenge and that they might be players from cold countries or whatever that is. We know that that's coming soon. That is very likely the next set that we will see. Might even be tomorrow, might even be today by the time you're listening to this. As well as, don't forget, there's tons of other base moments that have been minted, tons of other stuff that's part of the new wave of those moments that were supposed to be in those pre-orders, but the pre-orders, there were 600,000 packs. They didn't get all bought. So all those moments are still sitting around, maybe in pre-order packs, just ready to get distributed. When are they going to come out? I don't know. We don't know when packs, but hopefully very soon. And then, of course, something else that is supposed to hit this month, and it's already the 17th, so it's very late at this point. The triple badge rookie moments, all the rookie badges, all that stuff are supposed to hit. That is going to be a very exciting day, not just because we're going to get eyes on those badges, but also it is going to turn the marketplace upside down. If you listen to the podcast from 2 days ago, you know what I'm talking about. So stay tuned for that. My next guest is a very exciting one, not just for me, but I hope for you guys, our awesome community. If you've been listening to the show from the start, or if you're new, it's very clear that we are quite passionate about analytics, as well as very passionate about blockchain and the innovation in this space. We're very lucky to have been linked up with this guest. He is incredibly chill. Speaking with him is pretty much like talking to like your pal who always makes you feel quite at ease no matter how long it's been. But don't be fooled. He is razor sharp. This is an absolute First Mint exclusive. We've had a few basketball players come through some of our live shows and on YouTube, but we haven't had a basketball executive, somebody who has quite literally changed the direction of the NBA in the last 10 to 15 years. And we definitely haven't had anybody who has literally won Executive of the Year. Have a listen to my chat with the president of basketball operations for the Philadelphia 76ers, Daryl Morey. All right, everybody, we are on with Daryl Morey, the president of basketball operations for the Philadelphia 76ers. Daryl, it's great to have you on the First Mint, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks. It's an honor. You guys have been out front on the whole trend. It's fun to talk to you.
Very excited. So let's kick it off right away. Let's dive into your history of crypto, because I've seen some of your online activity. Everything's public on the blockchain. We can see this. We all know your background. You're a smart computer guy. You know about crypto. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so I was real early on Bitcoin in like a bleeding edge stupid way, where I was in 2011 giving away Bitcoin to people on Twitter, just anyone random who would reply to me, I'd say like, hey, here's a Bitcoin. So I wish none of those things that I gave away was worth whatever it is now, $55,000. I have no idea what it is right now. So
don't go look.
Yeah. And so I had actually built up a big store of that. Hackers, please don't listen to this this podcast. But I built up a big store. And then if you can believe it, I was like, you know what? You know, I should probably put my Bitcoin in different places. You know, like I had it on a wallet on my machine. So I was like, oh, I'll put it on this MTGOX exchange. I was like, that sounds like an interesting exchange. But I didn't know where it was. And honestly, Bitcoin was like $5 or something. So I was like, whatever, if I lose it. And then obviously, like, people who are into crypto know that they got hacked. And I lost everything on the MTGOX exchange. And I was like, and then like one of my least favorite things that happened is I was like, as I lost everything, I was like, MTGOX, they're like, that's the Magic the Gathering exchange. I was like, holy shit, I put my crypto on something called the Magic the Gathering. I had no idea. I played Magic in college. I wasn't a big player, but I knew about it. And I was like, well, I would have never put my crypto on if I knew it was called, if I knew that was the name of the exchange. And I put it on two main exchanges plus a local wallet, but I put most on Mt. Gox or whatever people called it at the time. And so I lost all that. And then I was pretty big in Ethereum. And then surprisingly, I was a little late to the party on Top Shots and Serare and, you know, digital art, NFTs, all that. Because what I didn't like about Top Shot when I first heard the concept is, for me, like, the scarcity is the biggest thing. And so I had a real worry that, like, they'd have Joel Embiid's 50-point game, one moment. And then the 50th point, another moment. And then, oh, he did a his dribbling before he took the hook shot to get the 50th point, another moment. So I got a little worried that there wouldn't be the scarcity. But then finally it was just like, I should jump in this party. Just why not? Oh, I missed out that I did do the precursor to Top Shot, which was like the Crypto Kitties. So this was in 2017. I'm like, all right, seems like I should just get a Crypto Kitty. So I have one of those. Not
Wait,
one that
when
turned
did, when did you get it? When did you get a Crypto Kitty? Like 3 years ago or just now?
17? No, 2000.
So you did years ago, you got a Crypto Kitty.
Years ago, but it's not a good one. I think it's worth like $150 now. It's not a lot of, some of those are worth like a lot now, right? I don't even know. So,
some of them are worth a lot. Yeah, some of the original.
I don't even like cats. I don't like cats. So I didn't, I was just like, I'll just get one because it seems like everyone's getting a Crypto Kitty. So I'll just do that. So I did that. Then I just jumped into Top Shot, and then I jumped in a dumb way there. You know, I think I'm in the space that has the most risk to it. Like, I think there's a lot of people who want to come into the space, and so that'll prop up like the bottom tier of, you know, the rare cards and some of the stuff that's accessible. And then, you know, the super high-end stuff I think will hold value because I think there's just like crazy rich people who are buying cards because they think it'll be the first digital cards ever. I do think the mid-tier has some risk to it if you look at the evolution of these markets. So I'm firmly in the mid-tier because I don't want to spend like a lot of money on this stuff. But I mostly just got stuff that I like. I got 76ers. I got Danny Green throwing a lob to Dwight Howard because, you know, we literally had it in a game. So that night I was like, I wonder if there's a Danny Green to Dwight Howard dunk. And for sure there was one in the finals last year. So I grabbed that moment, which I was happy about. I grabbed some young players who I think are, you know, great young players and, you know, that are hard for me to talk about. But the Sixers, you know, my best one was actually I grabbed Joel Embiid. I think that was the first one I grabbed. And that one's gone up pretty good. In value, so
You got to lace them up, man. That is a great series one legendary set. It'll always be series one. They'll probably never be more legendaries that are only a 75 limited set. So that's pretty good. That's gonna be pretty rare over time. So it's pretty good.
I'm excited that you said that, Luke, because I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, I'm sure there's all these people monitoring and bots, and I just go on and go like 76ers. What's available? That seems good. Okay, do it. Like I don't put much more thought to it than that. And then one of my friends invested in Serrari at Benchmark. So that made me aware of Serrari. And then I jumped on Serrari. My son's a huge international soccer fan. And so he just like tells me what's good on Serrari. And I jump on that. I got my best one is like the highest grade Jonathan Bamba card. You probably don't know soccer as much. Is this just Top Shot only?
It is for now. I spend a lot of time on Top Shot, but it's eventually we will look at the other sports. Right. We're going to develop that. But right now we're in Top Shot. So you just gave us your whole history of kind of blockchain there, you know, just from, you know, Magic the Gathering exchange all the way to now you've got Joel Embiid player on your team. What's next? Like, what else do you have your eye on in the blockchain space? Now you've got your little Top Shot collection, and you've listed them. Just so everybody here knows, and everyone will probably go see your account after this. That Daryl has listed. It might need a bit of a reality check for the price of his moments that he's listed. Legendary is a great buy, but I don't know, $249,999 for Joel Embiid. It's like the biggest sale ever is $2,208.
The bottom line is, I have no interest in selling them. I just want to hold them. But I know enough about rich people. I'm like, sometimes they just come on and do something crazy. So I was like, if someone wants to buy the one that I have, like, sure, just pay I think it's good for anchoring, and I think it's just like, whatever, why not? Everyone should sell everything.
What if somebody wants to buy it because you owned it first?
Who knows? I mean, I wouldn't recommend that for them, but I would say, sure. You never know, right? So I don't know why everyone just doesn't have a price on everything on there. Like why not? Like, if you don't want to sell it and you even don't want to sell it less than me, put like $1 billion on it. Why not? Why don't people do that? Yeah, so I did that. And so I actually worry about the Top Shot model, not now, but later. So the fact that they drive you to the lowest listed price, I actually think works fine as there's a frenzy. But as you and I know, I don't know how old you are, but I'm old. I'm old enough to know how these things evolve. And so there's going to be like different areas, just like Bitcoin got hot, had a, you know, period where everyone thought it could not be anything, got hot again, got flat again, got hot again. So like things are going to go through a cycle. And so when the top shot cycle comes where there's going to be less enthusiasm, their model for how they list and sell cards will actually hurt and create a sort of a negative cycle, I think, of
people, like a downward spiral.
Create a race to the bottom. And they should look at more auction models, like Victory auction models and things like that is what I would look at. But
I hope that's on its way. I hope that's coming, actually, because there's definitely the need, especially for the legendary moments. It's like some of them could definitely use a bidding, especially for the more scarce ones. It's like we need that. And also that would just kind of add a new dynamic as well. That would actually really help. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So, Serari has an auction model, which I think is good. And I mean, there, you know, auction stuff has been studied pretty heavily from the late 90s until now because, you know, there's eBay. So there are times when you want buy it now prices. There are times when you want regular auctions, time when you want Victory auctions. There's like a whole set of theory. And if I was Roham, I wouldn't care about it either. I would just be trying to make my site work. But eventually, these are the kinds of questions that he has to think about. So
I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are in the background.
Yeah, and then I just went. I went from like reluctant to whole hog into Serare, and then yeah, I did some digital art, and you wanted to ask me about some of my crazy digital art. It sounded like so.
Yeah, we can go right into it now. I mean, I want to come back to Top Shot, but since you brought it up, yeah. Just so everybody knows who's listening, Daryl also has a very extensive collection on Rarible that includes a few different pieces. Tell us before we get to your own NFT, which will come in a second, the art that you've got on here as a collector. Tell me about it. What's driving it? Sure. And also I want to say that you're consistent. You've also listed every single piece that you have here for 50 ETH each. So you're listed them for 100 grand each. You're consistent with it. Buy it or collect it and then just list it immediately for like 200x. Like I love that.
Luke, you just might get drunk one night and just say, why not? Like,
you think I have just 50 ETH for Bird of Prey?
I mean, there's a lot of like house money in the crypto space. There's a whole bunch of people who are early who are just sitting on these crypto crypto millions of Monopoly money. That it was easy come and it might be easy go too. So I'm like, you know, if you want a cool artwork that I grabbed, 50 Ethereum, so it's yours, baby. It's all yours. So I would say the piece I like the best by far is the Dune piece I got from Pascal, and he's like a real up and coming artist. Is the whole like backlash against NFT hit on that one? So I'd bought a bunch of NFT art from, I think, like real up. So my strategy there was like find the next Beeple, right? Find the next, right? I don't even know if this is a good strategy, but this was my strategy. I went to digital artists that I knew before the crypto boom, and I thought their work was amazing. Pascal was one of them. And I just like started buying their stuff, and it seems like people weren't really on it, and a lot of the top digital artists are still reluctant to go on, so haven't listed their work. So I wanted to get the first works from people, so I've done that as well.
I do want to stick to your Rarible collection. You've got one, you've made an NFT, which is probably more than most of our listeners can actually say, that you have actually minted your own NFT.
Sure.
Tell me about it.
Well, first off, that's easy. So like anyone should do it. Like just get MetaMask and be on Rarible or Foundation or one of these, and just, it's easy as pie. The first significant thing I did in the basketball world was develop this formula for predicting wins based on points scored versus point given up. And so I made 5 NFTs of that. And that one I actually do want to sell because I'm giving the proceeds to ACLU. And so for one Ethereum, you can get the original work that I did way back with Bill James on basketball's Pythagorean theorem. So what is my Rarible ID? I think it's just...
You're just Daryl Morey on it.
Yeah, I'm just Daryl Morey, all one word. So you can find me there. You can get my Dune, which is a bargain at 50 Ethereum, or you can get my original work.
Wait, hold on. How would you feel if somebody bought, you know, are these unrareable? Your theorem, are they numbered 1 through 5, or are they just, they're just random? They're not serial numbered.
They're 1 to 5, but yeah,
they're 1 to 5. Okay.
I haven't. I don't even know. Is that a thing where like you put a 1 on it? I should do that.
Yeah, I mean, people always want the number 1, right? And that's like, at least okay. In Top Shot terminology, people want like the lower serial numbers do better, but.
Maybe I did that.
Maybe you got it. What I'm saying, what I was going to ask you though,
if someone buys it, I will give them number 1. Whoever does it first.
Daryl, how would you feel if somebody bought it and for 1 ETH, and then they put it up for 50, and then somebody bought it at 50, and they're buying your theorem instead of the art you have that you're trying to sell for the same price?
I would be thrilled for them. Like that's my own fault for not pricing it right.
Two questions. One, has it invaded the front office and the locker room? Are players and other admin, all your guys, are you guys talking about it? Second question is, what do you think is going to happen from here? Are we going to start to integrate Top Shot into like ticket sales or concessions or some kind of other experience with fans? Those are the only two questions I got.
I would say the first thing, 100%, like players are absolutely aware. People maybe wouldn't be surprised. The real diehards know, but like NBA players are smart. They're forward thinking. Obviously, they have a lot of disposable income because, you know, they should. They're the product for the league. The league has obviously, you know, pretty excited about their licensing investment in it. And it's part of the NBA. I believe the NBPA is cut in. That's the NBA Players Association. So, yeah, no, the players are very aware. You know, guys like Tobias Harris who are forward-thinking guys. I think Danny Green talked about it recently too. So, everyone's aware. Yeah.
Are they thinking about it? Like we've seen during some games, like Rudy Gobert the other day was like Top Shot that, like during a game. Is that something you could see kind of invading the games in a weird way?
Absolutely, not in a weird way. I think it's going to be one of the coolest things, and why it's such a nice crossover. And I have the MIT conference coming up in a few weeks. Roham's going to be there talking about Top Shots, and so yeah, if people want to check that out at mitssac.com. You can grab a ticket to that virtual event. But yeah, Roham, I'm trying to convince Roham to do Top Shots of key analytics moments in history before that. But the reality is he's just trying to make his site work, so I don't blame him.
Hold on, what would it be? Well, tell me, what would be like the top two key analytics moments? And obviously,
it's such a good question. If you're doing like on the court stuff, I think the one that came to mind that I mentioned to Roham would be the Cleveland Cavaliers in the playoffs made 27 3-pointers. So there's a lot of like self-aggrandizing ones because Houston had a lot of analytics moments, but I would... If I abstract from that and just say, I think Cleveland making 27 threes in the playoffs, I think 3 years ago, maybe four, that would be one. There's a lot. There's a lot we could think of, I think. So
I like that. You could see that. Top Shot's like, to me, it's an open book of different stuff that we could make, right? So it's absolutely. Like, I think that's totally possible. Okay.
In football would be when I think it was the corner – or as a running back for the Eagles, man. I think it was Westbrook, actually, for the Eagles, stopped at the 1 yard line rather than score the touchdown. Like, oh that God. Would be a great one when the NFL Top Shot comes.
I remember that so well. No, that was so bonkers.
Going for it on fourth down in the NFL, that would have been a good. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. Us missing 25 threes in a row against Golden State. Everyone thinks it's 27, but we were fouled on two of them, so it's 25.
Sorry. So. That's if you want it. There's a new website called like Low Shots. That's just like the biggest like goofball moves in NBA Top or in the NBA. It's like a parody of Top Shot, but
it's like the Shaq and the Fools.
Yes, yeah, Shaq. It was like people getting hit in the groin and stuff like that. Like it's airball free throws, good. Like all that kind of stuff. So yeah, maybe we get your wish. Maybe we get a cocktail of all that stuff. Do you foresee any kind of change to the player fan engagement now that you know we're all going to be in the same ecosystem of trading along with you?
I think so. I mean, I think there's no end to what you can do with it. It's just an infrastructure. The blockchain, Ethereum, you know, infrastructure is just an infrastructure, and you can use it in so many ways. And it's actually Ethereum's actually a useful blockchain. Like you could actually use it for sales, whereas Bitcoin's really more like gold, where it's harder to do fast transactions and things like that on it. So, So yeah, no, I think there's no end to what could be done for sure.
Okay.
So.
Okay, there's one last thing we got to do. Yeah, we do this with every guest, and it's a game called Would You Rather.
Okay.
Where I give you two options and you pick one, okay?
All right.
And awesome. They're difficult. And people find it really. We had Whale Shark on last week and he had a really hard time. I don't know if you know who Whale Shark is, but he's a big time NFT community guy. So he had a hard time.
Is this like Kobayashi Maru where I should not pick one every once in a while?
But you can't hack the system, but it's pretty similar. Yeah, if you want to bring up a little Chris Pine reference, that's great. Okay. What this is Top Shot related, first one. Okay. The number one Joel Embiid legendary moment of like his first one of the first legendary that he's in, or 10,000 Ben Simmons common moments?
Joel legendary, but that has nothing to do with Joel or Ben. I would just take the legendary moment. All
it's smart. Yeah, exactly. That's the right answer. Okay.
Yep. Would you, there's a right answer. So I pass.
Right answer. I just think based on what you said, you're consistent. Yeah. You're very consistent. That matches what you said.
One though, would I then be flushed off and not get to question two? How does this work?
No. Just make the rest of the questions really hard. Really hard. No. There's no right or wrong. This is all your preference. We're just finding out who you are through these difficult questions.
Sure.
You get to choose any two moments in NBA history that are minted into moments. Anything you want. It could be Jordan game 6, can be your analytics crown, can be, you know, you winning executive of the year, like whatever, they give you the trophy, whatever that is. That, any of those, or we create a Top Shot one of one Daryl Morey moment. That's its own thing. You get your own moment. No other executive, nobody else front office, no other coaches, nobody has a moment, but you do.
The first one though, other people could get it. It wouldn't be
anybody else could get it. It's going to go in a pack. And anybody can have it. But you get to choose what they are. You get to be the curator, or we make a one of one moment and you get it and you can sell it for 50 ETH or whatever.
As long as I could donate it to the ACLU, I would take the unique, whatever moment they dream up for me. So I could send it to charity.
And they get to pick. Yeah. We get to pick what it is.
I think the unique moments are better. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Last one. And there's maybe a right or wrong answer to this one. Your Theorem NFT goes to auction and it breaks Beeple's $69 million record set last week. Right. And it all goes to, you know, the charity of your choice, you know, ACLU as you want. Yeah. Or Philadelphia wins the championship this year.
Philadelphia wins the championship. That's
okay. Yeah.
It's not even hard. Like, because look, like, again, it's more unique. Winning the championship is more unique. Like, there's a lot of people in the world who have 69 million. I don't, but like, I'd take the championship any day. So.
Absolutely. Daryl, dude, it's been great having you on, man. We will have to have you on again. And especially as we shift more into NFTs, we'll have to get you back to chat about them.
I'd love that. Yeah. I love what you guys are doing. It's really important for the space. And thanks again.
That is just about going to do it for today, folks. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe on iTunes or on Spotify or YouTube or wherever it is that you're doing this. Leave us a review. We got plenty more shows coming up. They come out on Mondays and Wednesdays. And then Friday nights, we have a live show on YouTube with myself, the Plunge Father, and the Real Phil D, as well as tons of awesome people from around the Top Shot community. Give us a follow at the First Mint on Twitter to stay up to date with everything that's going on, including pack drops and all the other crazy stuff at NBA Top Shot. Otherwise, we'll see you Friday on the First Mint.